I'll make the rounds. So, time that just right, didn't it? Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for sending the word and the bread of life to us, that we may have your gift of eternal life. We pray that you continue to strengthen your gift of faith in us, that we may always believe your word and live according to it, that we might be blessed and be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this whole piece in John chapter 6, Jesus is trying to get us to understand that without him, we have no relationship with the Father, and we do not have eternal life. And that to believe in him is the work that God gives us to do. But faith is not a work. It's not something that we can go to God and say, I believe. I've done my job. I've believed, so you have to do what you said for me. We can't use our faith as a work and a claim on God. That's not the way the word is used in this chapter. It is the word work is used a few times, and it is the work that we are to do, to believe in Jesus whom he sent. But for Lutherans, it has always been that faith in God and his Son is always a gift from God. And yet it is we who do the believing. Every Sunday we confess in the creed together, I believe, or we believe. It is the thing that we're doing. I'm the one who's believing. You know, when we baptize our children, the parents don't believe for the children. You're not having faith in for the children. You take a charge that you will teach your child to know Jesus and the Father and to learn the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, and that you will bring them to the services of God's house. And that as they grow in years, you will place in their hands the Holy Scriptures so that living a godly life, they will have eternal life when Jesus comes. And now that's a half-decent paraphrase of the charge we lay on the parents, but that's everything that's involved in it. You're not believing for your children. You're believing for yourself, and you promise to raise your children to know the Lord. And if we do our job right as parents and the gathered community, because then we also say to the whole gathered community, and will you support this child and these parents and their sponsors, and as the church, help to raise the child to know Jesus. And so if we do our job right, all of us who are raised in the Lutheran church should not be able to identify any other day that we believed in Jesus, that we were saved. We're saved in the waters of our baptism, and if the church does its work of faith right for the child, that child can grow up and say, I've always known that Jesus loved me. I've always known that the Father sent his Son for my sins. I've heard that since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. Small baby, huh? How many of you were that small at one time? Okay. But what happens, because many of us didn't grow up Lutheran, right? How many of you did not grow up Lutheran? All right, a handful of you, right, today? Okay. So for many other Protestants, there comes a time when you have to profess your own faith, and you can point to the day that you say you were saved, okay? For us Lutherans, we go to the day of our baptism. That's the day that God got a hold of me in Jesus' name, and he saved me on that day. Washed me clean of my sins in the water. But for others who were raised differently and were baptized as older children or adults, it was their act, it's understood as your act of obedience to Christ's command to be baptized. And so it's your work. It's something you do in obedience, and that's the difference for us. Rather than God's act of adopting us as his child, we see it as our first act of obedience to Jesus to say to him, I'm serious about following you. And we turn that gift of God into our work. And then we, well, there's other problems, and that's not the point of today's sermon, so I'll just move on from that. The reason that faith is a gift from God for us is that we do not want to believe in God. And the God of this world, well, I'll just quote to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so they cannot see the glory of God in the light of Christ. Who's the God of this world? The devil, Satan. He blinds the minds of unbelievers. So for somebody who doesn't believe, it's because the devil is preventing them from seeing the glory of God in Christ. So in order for that person to come to faith, guess what has to happen? The blinders have to come off. And if it's the God of this world, Satan, and however he does it in somebody's life, if he's the one causing someone to not believe, it's Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit who has to come and knock off the blinders. It's God who has to defeat the work of the devil in that person and bring them to faith. So most of us, and I would venture probably to say all of us, have had a moment or a day or a time in our lives when we went from being, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, to, yes, I'm a Christian and I follow Jesus every day the best I can. From just being, you know, yeah, I was baptized and I'll probably go to heaven when I die, to, I'm serious about this. Jesus is my Lord. Something happens, you know. For me, I just heard the gospel again at a time in my life when I wasn't sure if anything mattered. And somebody sat down with me and shared the gospel one more time. And I had heard it all before. There was nothing new that they said to me. But I needed to hear it again. And they said, yeah, that's right. I knew that. And it revives your faith. And you move along. And it might happen for us every year of our lives, or every 5 years, or only when things get tough that we're reminded and we believe stronger. We believe the promise of God. Now, Jesus comes to the people here, and there's a bunch who don't believe. He says, I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. What more do I have to do? What more do I have to say? How much more can I love you and accept you and honor you as people created in the image of my Father? And you will not believe. What do I... See, even Jesus couldn't make some people believe. Ooh, that hurts to hear that, doesn't it? Because, see, nothing is impossible for God. Right? And there's a passage like that in the Gospels where the disciples are asking, well, then who can be saved? And Jesus' answer is, it's impossible with man, but it's possible with God. And one of our struggles is, well, if it's God who gives faith, if it's God who brings us to that point to believe him, why doesn't he do it for everybody? Well, because God is a gentleman. God will not make you do something you don't want to do. But it's only God who can break through the power of the devil. And so it's prayer by believers for the unbeliever that makes God's work effective in the other person's life. And our witness in what we do and what we say to people. Because when we speak God's word to people, it changes them. It has an effect on them. They might feel more guilty. They might be just simply bothered in their conscience. They might just not be able to stop thinking about what you say, or they might get harder of heart. They might resent it so much because you have the joy and the peace and the hope of eternal life that they don't have, and they want it, but there's something that won't let them give into it. So we keep on loving them. We keep on talking to them. We keep on praying for them. And we might die before they believe. And they might die before they believe. But we need to be a witness to them. So one of the questions I like to ask people in trying to help them understand that faith is a gift is, what happens in us that yesterday or last week I didn't believe, but today I do? What changed? What happened? How did it happen? And our answer has always got to be, the Holy Spirit convinced me that God really loves me, that Jesus really died for me, that my sins are really forgiven. How do you convince somebody that something is true? I mean, how do you do it? I do it by telling them over and over and over, and you know, I do that every Sunday. Right? I mean, you've heard me say a lot of this before. And that's because you only get it for anywhere from 13 to 25 minutes. And on occasion, 28 minutes. Once a week is what I have you for. To reinforce what you've heard for decades. And all the rest of the week, you're bombarded by all these other messages. And so I have to keep reminding you of what you already know time and time again. So that in times of doubt, you can go back to that and hang on to the promise of God. You don't hang on to your faith. It's not faith in your faith. It's faith in the promise of God. So you can't stand before God and say, God, you have to answer this prayer because I really believe in you. And I'm praying with all my heart. And your word says, if I believe and pray in faith, you'll do anything I ask in Jesus' name. We can't go up to God and say, God, you have to, because I did my part. Because you know what God's going to say to you? I don't have to do anything. I mean, we've heard that from Dad before, haven't we, huh? I don't have to do anything. Now, he may want to, and he may go ahead and do it, but he's not going to do it just because you come up and say, now I've done my part, you got to do your part. God has made those promises that we cling to because he loves us. So we don't have to go up to him and say, you got to do it because I did my part. We just go up and say, Dad, I need this. Could you please help? You know, I'm your son, I'm your daughter. I'm claiming that promise. It's something you said you would do for me, for us. And I'm asking. Okay? So in your good time, I'll look for the answer. And when we go and ask, it's because we do believe, right? You're not going to go and talk to God when you don't believe. Even that prayer that the man said, I believe, help my unbelief. How many times have you said that one? Whole bunch, huh? I believe, help my unbelief, all in the same breath. I know your promise and I believe it, but right now it's really hard. So if there's anything lacking in me, please just overlook it and grant me what I need. I believe, I really do, but help my unbelief. Jesus is the bread of life. He promises eternal life. Three times he says in this little passage, I will raise him up on the last day. We will have that new life because we believe that It's God our Father who sent this man, Jesus, to be our Savior, our Redeemer, our Healer, our Comforter, our Peace. So what do we do then every day of our lives? How do we live knowing that this man, Jesus, is our Lord and Savior? Every decision we make has to be based on what he wants us to do. In our nation, now the church is being challenged to live what we believe. And some people in our nation are telling us that we're not allowed to. That we have to live different ways. We have to profess different things. But we have to stand here and say, no, Jesus is going to judge me on the last day. Not you and not me. So I have to do what Jesus tells me. He will judge. And everybody of any religion has to answer the same thing. It's my God who will judge me. I have to do what my God tells me. Not what you say. And we're able to have that response because we do believe that God loves us this much, that he would send his son to die for us, to be the bread of life, the light of the world, the true vine, all those other I am sayings that Jesus had, the way, the truth, and the life. We believe that. And big red letter sentence, you always behave the way you believe. Don't you? If you believe somebody's going to be late for the appointment, then you don't try to be ready on time because you think they're going to be 10 or 15 minutes late and you have that much leeway, so you don't hurry up. If you believe that the cop is sitting around the curve getting ready to shine his radar gun on you, you're going to slow down and do the speed limit. If you don't believe he's out today, you're going to keep going like you are. True? We all do that. If you don't believe you're going to get caught doing what you're doing, you're going to go ahead and do what you know you shouldn't be doing in the first place. Because nobody's going to know, nobody's going to catch you, nobody's going to put you in jail. We always behave the way we believe, moment by moment. And God in Christ asks us to have faith, to believe moment by moment that Jesus is here with us. Not that he's watching over our shoulder to catch us doing something wrong. That's not what God is about. Although he does that, you know. I mean, he knows everything we're doing. But his purpose, he's not standing there with a whip just waiting for us to do something wrong so he can crack it in our ear, you know? Ha! Caught you again! He's there because he wants to point us in the right direction according to his will so we can be blessed again because he loves us. Here at Shiloh, we're in this process of trying to figure out what God wants to do here among us and through us. God wants to do something. He calls us again to faith in him for our future, for his future here. And we all have to be part of that conversation, or it won't work, because every single one of you has the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that was in Jesus. And each of us has to have that faith to come together with others who were baptized by the water and the Word. Filled with the Holy Spirit, that God can guide us together into the future he has for us. So please, sign up for the dinner that's coming, that we can talk about how we normally do things here, and we can reinforce the things that are good and change the things that hold us back from accomplishing what God wants us to do. But we need to do that all together in faith. In the one who comes to give us life as the bread of life, the light of the world, the way, the truth, and the light, the true vine, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.